This week's guest is Dan O'Connell, who's making his third appearance on this podcast, where we talk about AI to endurance to LinkedIn influencers to how to think about new opportunities when they come across your desk. It's an absolutely awesome episode, and we're so excited to bring it to you after a quick advertisement by our sponsor, NetSuite. 25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less. Download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely for free at netsuite.com/scale. That is netsuite.com/scale to get your own KPI checklist at netsuite.com/scale.
Guess who's back? Back again. Dan O'Connell's back. Tell a friend. Dan, welcome to the Uncharted podcast. I think you're the first guest to be back for the third.
I'm the first repeat offender. That was my favorite Eminem song too. Well
done. Good. It's been a crazy couple of years. I think the last time you were on was either 2020 or 2021. Tell the world how you've been.
It's been crazy because I've been at Dialpad for 6 years, and that 6 years seems like two, but I feel that I have aged 10. I think it's been really hard for startups and businesses out there. It's been hard for sellers. Compression in SaaS, competition. I think there's more businesses doing more things, meaning the larger companies are expanding their feature set. So I just think it's just a wild world out there for sure. Said all of that without mentioning
it. You've said it pretty well. What have you learned to cope with the craziness of things that are frankly outside of your control?
Well, three things. One is fortunately working for somebody that has been through those cycles and experienced them. I've been through two pretty rough cycles in terms of, you know, tech busts and resets. But I think working for somebody that has seen that, you know, our founder and CEO, his name's Craig Walker, is a little bit older than me, but like has managed, this is his third business that he's run. He sold one to Yahoo, one to Google. But he has taken over businesses. His first CEO job that he talks about was he had to go into this business. It was actually called Dialpad 1. It's a long story of how we got to Dialpad 2. But he had to go in there, and it was the turnaround CEO. And he had to go in there and be brutal on some of the decisions to keep the business afloat and turning it into a success and getting it to Yahoo and becoming Yahoo Voice. But I think one is like just working for people that have those experiences and seeing them can help alleviate some of the chaos and crazy decision-making that I think can happen from folks that may not have that play or that experience. Two is I actually think, and you see me like laugh, you know, we're on video, is I do a lot of endurance events in races, and it doesn't have to be long events, but I generally fall in the camp of endurance events are much like building startups where there's good moments and there's terrible moments. And there's moments every single time I'm doing a long race that I say, why the hell am I out here? And this is not fun. And then I get done and I'm like, that was really fun. I should sign up for another one. So I think that's the same as just having some perspective of that's life in general is there are peaks and valleys, and you have to learn that the valleys can be these really great opportunities for learning, but they can be really challenging. And you just have to know that generally speaking, things will always get better as long as you can show up with consistency and just put one foot in front of the other. And I tell myself that all the time, whether it's running a business, starting a business, life in general, you name it. And then the third, I actually think is talking to somebody else, right? Whether that is a mentor or a therapist or a friend or your parents, relationships, is having somebody that you can actually know that you can have very honest conversations and balance with and get some additional perspective. Because if you're just talking within the confines of your own employees, right, or your coworkers, it becomes like the echo chamber of like everyone's saying the same thing. It's a frustration. You get the vent. They're gonna agree with it. Getting the fresh perspective that can help you like, hey, things are not that bad or things are terrible, like make a different decision, I think can be really helpful.
Absolutely nailed it. And your last point, it's one of the reasons I love connecting with you, going to in-person events is just like, you get to share notes, right? You get to see like, okay, is it really that bad? Is it not that, you know what I'm saying? You get to kind of see like what the other folks and, you know, in your little circle are going through. One of the things that you and I have talked about is there seems to be a lot of noise these days on the social media platforms, and specifically LinkedIn in our world of B2B, like seems to be have taken off. Like, what have you learned over the years of someone that's saying something is actually knowing what the hell they're talking about versus, you know, being an artist?
You see me take my dramatic pause and my deep breath. LinkedIn is brutal for me right now. I try to be like opinionated and funny on the stuff because I think that's mildly entertaining. I think influencers are now showing up more and more in B2B. I see it all the time for AI influencers and then also just sales influencers. I think what's really important, and I share this with my friends and my employees and my reports, is I think you really have to start looking at the experience that people have. And when I go for advice or the mentors that I have in my network, it's people that I know for certain have gone through the experiences that I am going through, whether that is a scale experience, whether it's managing layoffs, or trying to raise money, pick your battle or your challenge. What I'm seeing personally is you see a lot of sales influencers and a lot of AI influencers that have a couple years experience and then are running consulting firms for people. I think it's just really noisy. And I think some of the takes, I get it. Like, they're going to have hot takes. That's their thing as an influencer. I think people believe it. And I think the hot takes are pretty bad takes. And I actually think they're fairly jaded. I see that a lot on the sales influencers. Like, they've been wronged in some experiences, probably because of a lack of experience or perspective, or not having a network that they can go and leverage for mentors that can kind of walk them through some things. It just kind of rubs me the wrong way, because I think the hot take isn't balanced. And I actually think it's bad advice. And I think it stems from the lack of experience and perspective.
When do you call it out and when do you let it go?
Oh, I'm an avoidant. You see me smile and laugh. There's a lot of times I would love to call things out. I just don't know the upside. And, you know, there's one particular influencer that talks a lot about stock options. And I can tell that they feel that they've been burned. I wish I could like reach out to that person and just be like, hey, like, here's a different way to think about this, or a different way to coach people through that experience and to help them manage it. I personally don't call it out, although there's a lot of times I want to and do it. And then when you're talking about the quality piece, like, I tend to go for like quality over quantity, which is, you know, the influencers that post every day versus the one that's posting once a month or every couple of weeks. Like, there are some fantastic blogs that I read and they might only post like once a month or once every few weeks. Half the time I'm always like, oh, I'd love to go write something. I just don't have the time, unfortunately. Like, I would love it, but most of my connections are from somebody, you know, I'm reaching out to somebody asking for help or advice because I need it all the time. Or, you know, somebody knows me and is pinging me for advice, which is super flattering and shocking to me at the same time. But I tend to go for like the pay attention to the quality versus the quantity stuff as well.
You're a perfect person to ask about AI, sales, influencers. There was a hot take recently about AI is going to replace a lot of sales reps. Would you agree or disagree?
I think there is a risk for automation always of new technologies. And for quick context, like, Dialpad's heavily averse in AI. We had an AI startup that got acquired by Dialpad so we do our own speech rec, our own NLP, our own semantic search. We built our own large language model. We have that model running on CPUs, not GPUs. We have our own A100s for training inference. We're pretty closely involved with these technologies. I fall in like two camps. One is there's always risk and opportunities for automation. Although I think we underappreciate at times the complexities of the workflows that we manage day in and day out. And the analogy I'm starting to use and talk about is like the self-driving analogy, which is we get really excited about self-driving cars. And a decade ago, we were told by this time we would have fully autonomous vehicles. And it turns out that that problem is really hard. And there's so much nuance to it, right? Challenging weather you can see in the fog, you name it. And so I think that's a great example of what I personally think plays out on the AI front, at least for the next 5 years or 10 years. I don't think we can think kind of further than that. Whereas I think there's risk of automation for remedial tasks that are easy to understand the workflows for. And then I think we are going to find out that all of these systems need to be fully integrated in order to have these large language models work. And there's a lot of communication that just happens offline between people. And so if it's not online, then that gets really hard for a system to understand and replicate and learn and automate. We hear it all the time being a communication space, like, nobody's going to make a phone call again, right? Nobody's going to call into the contact center because the chatbot's going to do it. And the same for the email space, like, nobody ever emails in again because, you know, it's all self-deflected. And I just don't think that's the case. I think there's like such complexities in these workflows and systems that it's just going to take much longer. So I don't fall in the camp. I also fall in the camp of like people like to buy from people. I don't think somebody's going to go do a $10 million or $1 million buy without interacting with a team and having some reassurance that, you know, there's a human on the other side. That's just who we are as humans and people. I don't fall into like the utopia AI verse is going to show up here immediately. And so I tend not to panic too much. I think the person that gets replaced is going to be the person that's not understanding these technologies and leveraging them to help them do their job better and more proficiently. You're more likely to be replaced by the person that's leveraging AI to do things, as opposed to like the full system that's just going to do all of your job for you.
Yeah. One of the things I've been going through now is I'm in this like fluid area where I'm open to opportunities. I'm open to hearing it out. How do you think about new opportunities?
I think there's like two things that stick out for me just from the get-go. One is having a framework for things. And so anytime, you know, a recruiter pings me or VC might ping me or whatever it might be, there's 10 questions or so that I have that I'm like, hey, I need to get this information. I generally fall in the camp of like, look, you're going to opt in to a business. You should know exactly what's happening, whether you are your first job entry level or whether you're the CEO going in. I classify them as like basic stuff. What's their growth rate? What's their burn? What's their cash position? What's their net new ARR? What is your net new logo ARR? Because I think new customers are the lifeblood of a business. If you're not acquiring new customers, then at some point, the annuity payment of your existing customers will go away. What's the net dollar retention or net revenue retention? What executives have turned over the past year is a question I like to ask. Shows you cohesiveness around leadership. Somebody's unwilling to share this with me, I usually am like, okay. And I'll sign an NDA. If somebody's unwilling to share that information with you, I would be like, don't take a job. Because I also fall in the camp of if somebody is not going to be transparent with you on the honeymoon period of trying to get you to come for the job, there I have a hard time believing that the first second you show up there, that you're suddenly going to get that much more transparency. That's the first thing. Do I think this is a sustainable business or a good business? Two is the feeling. And it sounds weird, but it's like meeting people, whatever. Like there is a genuine feeling I think people have when something feels right. And I think learning to read that and understand that about yourself is really important. There's time I've made like a bad decision in my career on a job. And I can tell you day two, I showed up. I was like, this doesn't feel right. So I think you have to learn to listen to your body on that. That means like spending time with people and really thinking about, do you want to work there? Are you excited about the company? For me, I like B2B software, specifically for sales, marketing, and support. People call me about healthcare and financial services. I'm always like, one, I don't have enough experience to be your guy. I'm not even interested in that. So I'm going to have a really hard time. And that's just a personal thing for me. I think like reading the intuition piece of like, is it a market industry that you like? And like, does it feel right as you meet the people are really important things. And then having that framework around like, get clear understanding of, is this a sustainable, good business?
I think you've nailed it. I was watching the goodbye that they had for the Seahawks coach, Pete Carroll. And he said, you have to listen to your inner voice, but more importantly, you got to have awareness about what ticks you, what you're good at, and like doubling down on those things and not becoming something you're not. It echoes exactly everything you've said.
Yeah. So, and that's hard. I think when you're starting off your career, I think you like to think that you're good at everything. You know, you're like, I can do this. I'm great at that. Fortunately, over time, you're constantly learning, but I think you become more close to the intuition of like understanding your superpowers and what are not your superpowers.
100%. Dan, I want to thank you for coming on the show. Before we say our goodbyes, there's one question we love to ask. If you could go back to any time, and in this specific case, the last time you were on the show, so if you could go back to 2020 to 2021, what's one piece of advice you would give yourself knowing what you know 3-4 years later?
Investing more in building the relationships with my mentors. And I think I have a great kind of like board of directors for Dan, and I leverage them when problems come up. And it usually is like, I always feel like I'm calling them for the favor of like, hey, you know, it's urgent. I'm trying to make a decision around this. Can I get your perspective? One thing is finding that extra time to connect with like the mentors and build that network and just invest in it. That's just one thing that always comes back is, again, it's this feeling, oh, I'm reaching out and I need a favor from this person. I haven't caught up with them in 18 months or 2 years sometime, you know, and I know they're there, like they will always take, you know, fortunately they'll take the call. Find time just to connect and get to know people and build that network up and think about the people that you want to be on your board of directors and have perspective and help from is something that I wish I did a better job at.
I always find these so refreshing because you're one of those folks that's very reasonable and you don't get emotional and it's very authentic to say the least.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on. For everybody, until next time, be well, be safe. Best thing about a business is as it scales, you start being buried in manual work. At some point, cracks start to emerge. If this is you, you should know these three numbers. 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000, that's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle. 25, NetSuite turns 25 this year. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close their books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. One, because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all your KPIs. That is key performance indicators in one efficient system with one source of truth. Manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need to grow all in one place. That is exactly what I've done time after time for our businesses and when we were scaling at AutoMile. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely for free at netsuite.com/scale. That is netsuite.com/scale to get your own KPI checklist at netsuite.com/scale.